It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the Golden Age of Radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, and this hour, Crime Stories. Later on, we join the Crime Club from 1946, but first, an episode of Indictment, a CBS broadcast from 1958.
Indictment. The drama you're about to hear is from New York City and is based on stories of the criminal law with authentic procedures as detailed by Eliezer Lipsky, former Assistant District Attorney of New York. It is the Assistant District Attorney who directs criminal investigations, assembles facts and witnesses, builds the case to a just indictment.
Waiter!
Yes, sir, Mr.
Bilchick,
yes, sir.
That dessert menu right here, yes, sir.
Menu? I know the menu by heart, for heaven's sake. Give me a cup of coffee black. What kind of cheesecake tonight?
Tonight we got pineapple cheese, cherry cheese.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Move quick. Get the back between me and the door, quick.
Voila!
Slow, for heaven's sake, he's seen me. All right, too late. Stick around. He's seen me. He's coming over.
Yes, sir. You want the dessert now, or maybe you want it?
Stick around with this crazy, you can never tell. Buggy, hello, how are you? Good to see you. Sit down.
Hello, Penny. I kind of thought I'd find you here.
Sit down. Waiter, a chair for my brother. Yes. Cup of coffee, Buggy, a nice piece of cheesecake. Waiter.
I already ate. Penny, I got to talk to you. You got to listen.
Later. Have a snack. We'll go up to the house. We'll talk.
Benny, now, we get to the house, it'll be wait till the wife is out of the room. But the wife don't go out of the room, Benny. Now, you gotta listen to me now.
Later. Come to the office tomorrow. Waiter, two coffee, two cheesecakes, a special.
Benny, I ate. I'm not hungry. Benny, don't fob me off. Don't duck me like you've been ducking me. In the office, I call the office. Mr. Bilchick is out. I call the house. Benny's at the office. Benny, don't do me like this. Your own brother.
Brother. Don't hit me over the head the rest of my life with this brother thing. What do you want? How much this time? Ask, take, get out, get lost.
Benny, don't talk to me like that.
Pounding me, chasing me, heckling me. Come on, how much? 50, 100? You in trouble again? This is the last time, so help me.
No money, Benny. No more. The last time was the last time. All I want is, Benny, help me on my own feet.
Watch your own feet.
Back in the business. Please, I beg of you. You got the connection, a word from you to the association, the license commissioner, the trade. One measly word. Benny, you got but to say one word. My brother Buggy is clean. I
have all restaurant. People are
just
looking.
That one word.
Shut up. Keep it down.
Benny, help
later,
me back
later.
In the business.
You're
I'm begging you.
Stock. Sit down.
Look, I'll get
down.
On my knees.
I'll break it out, brother.
Benny, I can't take much more. I'm one. You must leave me out. I'll muscle in.
Take the hands off.
No, you can't keep your squeeze out. I'm dying. I'm starving. Everywhere I go, it's the closed door. Everywhere. You're doing it, Benny. You gotta stop.
You're warning me. I'm warning you.
Five years I'm walking around. I won't take him anymore. I'll kill you.
Gentlemen, please. Gentlemen.
McCormick.
Mr. McCormick, this is Jim Donahue, clerk of magistrates.
Yeah, Jim.
Are you busy?
It's a quiet day. Why?
Why don't you take a run down here? A funny one just came in from the 18th precinct, an arraignment. A couple of brothers charging each other on counter charges of assault.
No, thanks. Out of our league.
Ed, let me finish. This could be something. The brothers are Bilchick.
Benny and Buggy?
Benny and Buggy Bilchick, right. At each other's throats in a restaurant. I remember you were working on the linen supply racket.
We are, and thank you, Jim Donahue. Now, look, Hold up everything down there somehow. Get the assistant in charge of that part to send the Bilchicks up here.
Sure, Mr. McCormick.
And Jim.
Huh? Yep.
You might tip off the arresting officers to let Benny and Buggy sort of get at each other in the elevator. Keep them boiling till I get here. Maybe one of them will boil over and spill. Tom, we could be in business after all.
I heard you say Bilchick. The linen racket break?
Benny and Buggy out in the open. Mm. On their way up here. Tom, before they get here, give me a fast filling on Buggy, huh?
Well, there isn't much, Ed. I mean, arrests, a fistful. But there's just one conviction.
Extortion, wasn't it?
The pickup was on felonious assault, but he copped a plea and went for extortion, that's right. It was in the old days, Ed, when they enforced their contracts and on the business end of a pair of brass knucks.
Just a minute. Anything else?
Well, he did his time. He's been clean from what I hear. Odd jobs, working on loading, delivering, things like that. Never made the big time again.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you see an opening as I work, move in, huh?
Well, what are you going to do?
Play it by ear. Okay, let him in.
Both?
For the time being, both.
Okay. All right, officer. We'll see the gentleman now. Wait a second. Gentlemen?
Special Bureau District Attorney. What is this? Since when a citizen has an assault complaint right away? It's with the Special Bureau.
Mr. Belchick, please sit down. Make yourself comfortable. There are no problems.
I got right.
Go ahead. Smoke if you wish. Mr. Belchick, won't you take a seat too, please?
Who are you?
Buggy, Mr. McCormick's an assistant DA. Don't worry, Buggy. No problem.
Except the public peace.
So why do you think I charged up him in court? For more fights?
Let Mr. McCormick explain, Mr. Belchick.
Who are you?
Detective Russo assists my investigation.
Well, go ahead, investigate.
Everybody's seen him put it on me. That's the waiter who dragged him off me.
Everybody's off. Calm down.
Sit down.
All right. Now, you two just sit. Do you understand me? Sit and be quiet.
My own.
All right.
Now, I had you brought up from magistrate's court before the fur began to fly. Suppose you'd both been successful in your assault charges. What then? Trial? Counter-trial? Charge? Counter-charge? Bad blood in the family? Mr. Belchick, a responsible man like you, an important man like you in the industry, would that look good?
I only want
to see...
And you, Mr. Belchick, a man with a record. There was some assault there, wasn't there, Detective Russo?
That's right, Mr. McCormick. Uh-huh. 9 arrests. Or was it 10, Buggy?
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
That could come out in court, Mr. Belchick. And how would that help you make any headway in the industry?
Headway? You should know.
All I know is this, and it applies to both of you Belchick brothers. I want you to keep the peace. That means keep away from each other.
Perfect. No argument. I agree.
Stay away from each other. Don't speak. Don't get into arguments.
Speak? I had to track him down, my own brother.
I want you to keep the peace. What's more, I'll want you to post a bond with the court. And if either of you breaks the peace, you forfeit the bond and you're subject to prosecution. You understand that?
Agreed, agreed. Say when. It's all right by me.
Just a minute.
A bond? Money? What am I supposed to use? Cigar coupon? A bond?
Just a minute. You, Mr. Belchick, should understand this before you agree. You can ask for a peace bond by showing proper cause.
Hmm? Again? Proper cause? What?
If you can show cause for fear of your brother's actions, you can ask the magistrate to instruct him to post a peace bond. And you won't be troubled.
Fear? Believe me, with this crazy one, I'm afraid for my life.
His life? What's he done to mine? Ask him. Go ahead, ask him. I'll take it.
Detective Russo, I think we'll talk to these gentlemen one at a time. Don't you think that's the best way?
Yes, I think it might go quicker that way, Mr. McCormick.
All right, will you step outside with Detective Russo, Buggy?
Lies. Lies you get. Ask me. I'll tell you who's got what to fear.
You'll get your turn, Buggy. Just wait out there with the officer.
Detective Russo, have we got a couple of extra glasses? It's very thirsty in here.
Right in the drawer, Mr. McCormick.
Oh, yes, yes. How am I doing, Tom?
Great. They're steaming.
Mm-hmm.
One question.
Yeah?
What are you doing?
Well, that's all very well, Mr. Belchick, and I'm certain you've been telling us the truth as you see it.
On a stack of
but
Bible.
It doesn't add up to a picture of fear.
I don't understand. I told you everything.
Mr. McCormick means that heckling you, waiting for you outside the office, trying to catch you in restaurants, places he knows you frequent, the likes of that, doesn't make a very strong case for, well, strict personal danger to life and limb.
Harassment, annoyance, embarrassment, yes. Your own brother touching you for loans. Even using your name for reference without your permission, and him an ex-convict. That's all very well. But it has to be stronger than that to justify a bond.
All right, all right. Would you fear a crazy man?
If I were convinced of his insanity, I might.
A crazy man you knew was the biggest muscle man in the racket, the enforcer. One rotten little conviction, but how many you never got?
What can you prove, Mr. Belcher?
Well, never mind, Detective Russo. Those were long ago statute of limitations. And besides, the industry is clean now. thanks to men like Mr. Bilchick here. Isn't that so?
Yes, they've policed themselves very nicely, Mr. McCormick. The buggy Bilchicks are out of the picture, if you'll excuse me for talking about your brother like that.
Uh-huh. But buggy, brother or no brother, a bum like this has got to be kept out of the industry. The linen supply business, Mr. McCormick, is a clean business. If you'll excuse the joke, we keep it clean.
Yes.
Even against their own brother, if you have to.
We, that is the association?
The association, of course.
And you, I believe, are a leading figure in the association.
A founder. You're interested in the association? All right. Nobody muscles in from the old days. No hoodlums, no strong-arm men, no undercutters. They make a deal, and a month, 2 months later, the hoodlums are knocking on the door with a higher price or else, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the people they supply the linen to are afraid to squawk to the law for fear they'd get that or else. Those were rough days, Mr. McCormick.
So I imagine. Mr. Bilchick, I'm beginning to see your point.
Now we are getting somewhere.
Your fear, I gather, is not just personal, but, yes, professional. You have a responsibility to your associates in the industry.
Exactly.
You fear the old days of coercion, extortion, mayhem, intimidation will come in with your brother.
You got it.
You fear he, as an ex-convict, will be an entering wedge for, abuses in the industry.
With him, right away the hoodlums come, and where are we?
Yes, Mr. Bilchick, I understand you clearly now. As for the personal fear...
A crazy man, all in his mind. I tell you, years ago, I bought the business from him. Why? Only to save it from the government.
What?
Taxes, tax penalties. So I bought him out and paid it up, and he hates me. All in his mind, I stole it from him. All in his mind. He's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have cause to fear. Anything else?
You're speaking of the personal, I fear for my wife.
Oh, has he bothered her?
Not yet, but it's to fear. Me, he hates because when he had the business, he was going to marry her. She married me. He hates me. But he could take it out on her instead. This, I fear.
Well, you certainly have just cause, I'd say. We'll get those facts down in good time. But, Mr. Bilchick, would you do something for yourself at the same time?
If it's in my power, say the word.
I'm sure my office would like to have a rundown on the way you and your associates have policed the industry.
Sure.
Kept out the hoodlums, even your own brother. This would make a fine impression.
Sure.
Especially at a time when, that's off the record, of course, but you know how it is. There's always some investigation going on. Now, for instance, Detective Russo and I have been looking into the trucking situation. Then there's the jukebox situation. A lot of, tricky doings there. Right, Detective Russo?
That's right, Mr. McCormick. And it's good to know Mr. Bilchick's people are running a clean industry.
1,000%. Clean like the linen we supply. The aprons, towels, sheets, pillow slips, napkins, spotless.
We'd be extremely interested in how you do it.
Well, I'll tell you.
Good. Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. Your brother's waiting out there. Let me give him, say, 10, 15 minutes. Throw a scare into him.
That's all I ask.
Meanwhile, you can be reflecting on our discussion here. Maybe make a few notes, sketch your industry, your association's procedures of self-policing.
I will do it.
And don't hide your own light under a bushel, Mr. Bilchick.
A bushel?
Well, give yourself credit where credit is due. After all...
All right. Sure, after all.
So, Detective Russo, take Mr. Bilchick into the next room and call a stenographer to help us so we won't interrupt the flow. Is that all right with you, Mr. Bilchick?
Absolutely.
Good. That's very nice of you, Mr. Bilchick. Just make yourself comfortable there. There's an ashtray. We'll be through with Buggy in a minute.
Ah, lies. He'll tell you.
He's a louse.
A canary.
Huh?
He's going to sing. Buggy, your turn.
He says I hate him for stealing the business. Who stole it? A straight bankruptcy, a fair deal. I got a fair price. What's the hate? He's lying.
All right, he didn't bail you out of tax trouble. He just bought you out, huh?
And a fair price. What kind of talk is he giving you?
Buggy... What's with you and his wife?
Millie?
Yeah.
Wonderful girl. What did he say? He said one word against that girl?
Take it easy, Buggy. All he said was you hated him for stealing her.
I what? I stole...
No. He stole her from you.
Well, how crazy can he be? A passing fancy. A few dates, a few dances, but nothing. Engagement ring. Nothing. Never. Listen, a wonderful girl, but for somebody else, not for me. Mm-hmm.
Are you married, Buggy?
Married, widowed, remarried, 3 children, a lovely family, a wonderful home. A woman who is with me, good or bad, trouble or sunshine, prison out, always with me. And for her, for the family. That's what I want back in the industry.
Trying to muscle back in, huh?
Muscle? Me? 60 years old, me muscling? Listen,
Is handling dirty sheets when I used to handle the whole business, muscling? Is begging a job to pick up diapers when I started the first diaper service? This is muscling? What is he giving you?
How about the ex-racket men in the linen supply business? Haven't you tried to get in with them? They owe you something. You help them make theirs.
The old racket men.
You know who we mean.
Sure.
Well?
They laugh at me. In the old days, all right, I admit it. I was hard, slug-faced, argue later, sure. I helped put them there. But me, an ex-conner, I can't even get a lift up from my own brother, one of the biggest in the industry. He spits on me. They laugh on me.
What do you want anyway, Buggy?
I want back in, that's all. A chance. A couple of trucks, a little capital, a little small piece of such a great big business. A start, a chance. Not to be big, just a business.
What do you want from Benny, from your brother?
Just a good word. A word here, a word there. And his word will do it. Now, is that asking too much?
All right, Buggy. Wait outside a while.
Oh, boy, what's going to happen?
Just wait outside.
But, Bura, don't waste time like this on a lousy, hot-headed assault. I mean, it was crazy. Bonds and keep the peace. Who needs it? All I want is no trouble.
You won't have any. Wait outside.
Now you are asking, how do we do it? All right.
That is, keep an outsider, let's phrase it that way, out of the legitimate industry.
You're the lawyer, an outsider, all right. A bum, a hoodlum.
Let's strike those last words, shall we?
Let me tell it, you make with the blue pencil. First, self-policing. Nobody should come to us and say, throw the bum out. We don't let the bum in.
Well, exactly how?
How? Number one, you got the capital situation. The banks. A word here, a word there. The industry frowns on this guy. A bad risk, irresponsible. Does he get capital alone? He does not.
Mm-hmm. And naturally, the legitimate firms being heavy customers, the banks and the money people listen.
Likewise, the equipment.
Now, that would be what? Trucks, carts?
Trucks, carts, washing equipment, drying equipment, ironing equipment, all machinery. The makers are going to supply him against our say-so. We buy millions. He buys a small setup on credit yet.
Mm-hmm. Go on. This is very good, Mr. Bilchick. We can use this.
All right, you got the help situation. Should he get capital? Should he get equipment? Should he get a building? And on that, a word to the real estate people from the association. Big leaseholders, rent payers, mortgage carriers.
Is effective. Go on. What about help?
The unions. I ask you, do they need to stay on the right side nowadays? Mm-hmm. Are they anxious to have a clean nose?
Of course.
So they are. Fly-by-nights from the street he can find. But experience, steady, good union help, this don't turn up so quick.
And, of course, there's no malice in this, Mr. Bilchick.
Malice? We're keeping the industry clean. No hoodlum gets the first base.
But suppose he's not a hoodlum.
Beside the point, let me finish. You got other approaches. For instance, you got a close association of the industry leaders. You got a gentleman's agreement. United front, the industry as a whole, is better off without the bump.
Just a second.
And if all of a sudden somehow he muscles in anyhow, you got two final weapons.
The price?
Price. Cost. Right. On the button. A little meeting, a little negotiation, a little argument, a little adjustment, a little getting together on the bidding. And what hotel, what club, what restaurant, I ask you, is going to take from the more expensive supplier when he can get from the cheaper?
There's nothing personal in any of this.
Nothing.
Nothing vindictive, nothing collusive, nothing secretive.
Well, common knowledge, you understand it isn't. Articles in the newspaper about it, there ain't.
There will be. You'd describe the whole operation as a high degree of cooperation among the bigger elements of the industry?
I couldn't put it better myself. High. The highest.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to say, finally, there's always the commissioner.
Now, what about him?
Well, Mr. McCormick, the whole association agrees a man shouldn't be licensed. The commissioner's going to argue with the responsible, legitimate, high-grade, big, I mean big industry people, leaders, community leaders. You'll find them on the charity boards, community activities. What's the matter? What are you looking like?
Bilchick, do you know what a monopoly is?
A monopoly?
A monopoly is when a little group of people have got all there is of something and keep trying to get more. Do you know what restraint of trade is? Do you know what the antitrust laws say?
Monopoly, restraint, what?
Mr. Bilchick, I must inform you that practically anything you say from here on out can only be used against you in a legal proceeding. Not only in this office, but in all probability in the Attorney General's office, as well as the United States Attorney's. And that goes for you and your legitimate high degree of cooperation. Mr. Bilchick, go home.
What? What? Because we keep the bums out of the industry?
Because even an ex-con who's served his time and kept himself clean ever since has a right to live and work in the trade he knows. Has a right before the law to free enterprise and open opportunity. Go on home. Don't get lost either. And when the grand jury has a little spare time, I'm sure they'll work you in. Get yourself good lawyers. You'll need them. Buggy, I mean Mr. Bilchick, come on in. Now we're going to talk. Indictment is written by Alan Sloan, produced by Nathan Kroll, and directed by Paul Roberts. Nat Poland is starred as Edward McCormick. Jack Arthur is heard as Tom Russo. Also in the cast were Harold Huber, Daniel Occo, Sam Raskin, Walter Black. This is Stuart Metz, inviting you to listen next week at the same time for another Indictment.
Indictment, untuned to yesterday, a CBS episode from 1958. You're listening to An Hour of Crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the very first broadcast of the series, Crime Club, first heard on December 2nd, 1946, lasting through October of 1947, part of the Mutual Broadcasting System's Monday night lineup at 8, then changing to Thursdays at 10. One of radio's earliest mystery crime shows, the Eno Crime Club, took stories from the Crime Club series of novels, as did this show as well. The first story in the series we hear next, called Death Blew Out the Match.
Easy chair by the window? Comfortable? Good. The book is on this shelf. Yes, here it is. Death Blew Out the Match. A very absorbing story of death and mystery on a small island. Let's look at it under the reading lamp. It was an evening early in May, and the waters around the Cape, just off the coast of Massachusetts, were buried under a fog as thick and as massive as any you'd want to see. Moving cautiously, a small boat makes its way slowly toward one of the islands off the Cape. In the boat are Elisha McCumber and Anne Waldron.
Well, this is something. I'm glad we're almost there.
Yep. You been scared, Miss Waldron?
Oh, not scared, Elisha, but if I hadn't bumped into you in New Bedford, I'd have spent the night there. Not even Noah himself could have persuaded me to take a boat ride in this fog. What's new on the island?
Oh, nothing much. Unless you're counting a mysterious stranger.
Mysterious?
Calls himself David Highland. Gets mail from New York, Washington, Boston, but near every day. Nobody knows what's in it. He don't talk.
Maybe he's an ex-sailor with a sweetheart in every port.
This could be. But I'm chairman of the Board of Selectmen, and it's my duty to keep the peace on that island.
You've always managed, Elisha. What else is new?
Leonard Case is there, too.
Leonard?
Yeah. 4 weeks now.
Then Myra Van Wyck must be there.
She ain't. I guess Mr. Case will be mighty glad to see you, Miss Waldron.
Why should he be glad?
Well, I reckon a fella gets pretty lonesome with a plaster cast on each leg.
Plaster cast, Leonard?
Got both his legs broke in an automobile accident a few months ago. I figured you might know about it.
No. No, I didn't know. Elisha, are you sure Myra isn't on the island?
Mm-hmm. You're still sweet on the fella, ain't you?
He doesn't mean a thing to me.
Maybe not. But summer of last year, when Mr. Case turned from you to that Van Wyck woman... I was mighty glad the season ended. Without a killing.
Thanks very much, Elisha. I'll go the rest of the way alone.
Oh, I don't mind taking you to your door, Miss Walden.
You don't have to. I'll just follow this path around Myra Van Wyck's house, and that'll take me right home. Good night, Elisha. And thanks for everything.
Good night, Miss Walden. Be careful.
Maybe I should have... Oh, well. Nothing ever happens here. What? What was that? What on earth? That's Myra's house, and it's closed tight. Someone's coming this way. Someone that...
Hello? Fancy meeting you here.
Oh, who are you? What do you want?
You sound like a native. Suppose I answer your first question first. Who am I? David Highland.
Highland?
Why don't you call me David? Then I can call you...
Ann Waldron.
Ann. Lovely. Your house is about 200 feet from here, isn't it?
Yes.
You expect to live there alone?
What business is it of yours?
Just this. You won't tell anyone that you met me tonight, will you?
I won't.
That's what I said. Because if you do, one of us will become very useless.
Hey, Mr. Case, there's a dame here to see you.
A dame? Show her in, sir.
Okay, Tootsie. Help yourself to the boss. But don't make him nervous. He's in a very delicate condition.
Anne! Oh, Anne, darling, I'm so glad to see you.
Hello, Leonard.
You look beautiful. More beautiful
hey,
than
I... Hey, Mr. Case, is it all right if I take the car and go for a drive into town?
Yes, beat it. Go anyplace.
I'll pick up some chow for the icebox while I'm there. You got a couple of preferences, maybe?
Buy anything you like, but for Pete's
okay.
sake...
Okay.
Don't look so surprised, Anne. The guy saved my life. Pulled me out of the wreck before the car went up in flames. Hang it if he doesn't turn out to be the best cook and butler this side of the Atlantic. I was hoping you'd come, Anne.
You were? Well, what do you mean?
I knew you were on the island.
Oh, Elisha told you.
No, I saw you.
From here?
Hmm?
But my house is... Leonard, what have you done to this room?
You like? I had these walls ripped out and the glass put in their place. Ah, I don't miss a trick. I simply look through this telescope, and the island has no secret.
I see. Leonard, when is Myra coming?
She isn't.
Too busy in New York?
I hope so. The fact is, Myra and I are washed up. Silly, isn't it?
Is it?
The crazy thing about it is that I really thought I loved her. Yeah, I must have been out of my mind.
Did you marry her?
It wasn't that crazy, Anne.
Put that car on your bed.
And I want you to meet Mabel, my little helpmate. When Sam's away, Mabel does a little odd job to make me comfortable. Watch. Mabel, my pipe. Oh, you're slipping, old girl. You forgot my tobacco pouch. Thank you. Now you may go out and get your lunch. And don't dig up anyone's garden.
Where did you pick that up?
Myra gave it to me.
Well, everyone to his taste. I don't think I... What's that?
What?
On your bed. It's a buckle off a woman's shoe.
Well, what do you know? The thing that bird will bring home with her.
Wait a minute, Leonard. I've seen this buckle before. Haven't you?
Haven't I? Why, I don't remember.
That's Myra's.
What are you talking about? Myra's in New York.
Well, we'll soon find out. Give me that telescope.
But, Hello? Yes, yes, she's here. Would you like to talk to her? Uh-huh. What? Good heavens, of course I'll tell her right away. Anne, you can stop looking.
What is it, Leonard?
Myra's here on the island. Elisha McComber just phoned. He wants you to go over to her house. She's been murdered.
Elisha?
Eh? Oh, Miss Walden. You got here pretty quick, didn't you?
I can't believe it. Myra dead. When did it happen?
Sometime last night.
Last night?
The coroner says it must have took place between 11 and 12.
That's impossible.
Is it? Why?
Well, it was close to 12 when I left you. I took the path that runs around this place. The house was locked up.
Did you look to see?
No, there was no reason for me to look. You yourself told me Myra wasn't on the island.
I reckon I was wrong, Miss Waldron. Miss Van Wyck must have got here while I was in New Bedford.
Then that must have been it.
What was that, Miss Waldron?
The door. As I was passing by here last night, I heard the door open and close twice.
Of course, you didn't see anyone, did you?
As a matter of fact, I didn't.
Too bad. Would you like to see the body?
Must I?
It can't hurt you. It's right there in the living room. Come along. There she is, just like I found her.
Oh, her head's almost in the fireplace.
Yep. She was just about to light the fire with that match when death blew it out. Oh. You got any idea what killed her?
I? Well, why should I?
I thought you might have. It was cyanide of potassium.
Oh, how awful.
Uh-huh. But there's one thing that puzzles me, Miss Waldron. How did the killer get her to take it?
I don't know, Elisha.
There ain't a sign of a struggle in the room, and there ain't a mark on her body. Cyanide works like lightning. That means she was killed right here in this room.
But, Elisha, you keep talking about murder. How do you know it wasn't suicide?
Of course, I never seen a corpse that could get up and dispose of the evidence.
Maybe she chewed it.
Huh? How would you be knowing about that, Miss Walter?
That piece of gum near the fireplace.
I guess I must be slipping. Now, we'll see what the coroner has to say about this gum.
It was suicide, Elisha. I'm sure of it now.
Why?
Ask Leonard Case. He can give you all the facts.
I'm asking you, Miss Walter.
I don't know them. Now, why did you send for me?
I wanted to hear what you had to say in the presence of the corpse.
But why me?
To my way of thinking, Miss Van Wyck was murdered. And I thought maybe I ought to have a talk with the one person that had both motive and opportunity. That's you, Miss Walter.
Well, are you trying to break down the door?
I must see you, Mr. Highland.
All right. Would you like to look at me here, or would you rather come in?
I'll come in.
Good. Sit down.
No, thanks. Mr. Highland, what were you doing out in the fog last night?
You won't call me David, will you?
Will you answer my question, please?
Sure. What were you doing out in the fog last night?
I was going home.
So was I. That makes us even, doesn't it?
Not quite. Myra Van Wyck's been murdered.
What? You don't say. On this quiet, peaceful island? Did you tell anyone you met me?
No.
Good girl. Yes. Always play it smart.
But I will, Mr. Highland.
Will you? Would you like to hang for the murder of Myra Van Wyck?
What?
Suppose I told Elisha that I saw you coming out of her house last night.
But you didn't.
How do you know I didn't?
I didn't go in after I left you. I went right home.
Can you prove it?
Can I? Now, look here, Mr. Highland. What are you trying to do?
I don't want you to make any mistakes. You protect me, and I'll protect you.
You killed Myra.
Don't point, Miss Waldron. It's bad manners.
Why did you do it? All right. I'm going to find out, Mr. Highland, and what you came to this island for. And when I do...
Yes?
That letter on the desk. That's Myra's handwriting on the envelope.
Put it down.
Mail from New York yesterday.
Give it to me.
You didn't have to break my arm.
I'm sorry. It's such a pretty arm, too. And that's such a pretty neck.
What are you going to do?
Nothing. If you say one word about this letter to anyone, I'm going to put a rope around that neck for keeps.
Leonard, what am I going to do? Elisha thinks I killed Myra. And I can't prove that I didn't.
And I know you didn't, no matter what you thought of Myra.
Elisha was here. I told him that she wanted to marry me, but, well, I couldn't do it.
Then... she loved you?
I'm afraid so.
Leonard, it's possible then that Myra committed suicide.
No. Just before you came in, Elisha phoned me. That piece of gum you found, there was no poison in it.
Oh?
Don't worry, darling. We'll find a way to get you out of it.
But, Leonard, who left that gun there?
A killer, no doubt. Listen, Anne. What about David Hyland?
Who?
Don't pretend you don't know him. I saw you with him a little while ago.
You saw me?
Mm-hmm. This telescope. Oh. Why did you go to his house?
I can't tell you.
All right. Then maybe you can tell me what you and he were wrestling over. It was a letter, wasn't it?
Leonard, please don't ask me.
Wasn't it?
I... Yes, from Myra.
Myra? Well, what's he got to do with her?
I don't know. But, oh, promise you won't tell anyone. Leonard, you must promise.
Why?
Well, just promise, that's all.
All right, dear. Well, we've got to know what was in that letter.
Yes, but how are we going to get it?
I'll keep my telescope trained on his house. When David Hyland goes out, I'll tell Sam... Shut up, Mabel.
Mabel? Leonard, that shoe buckle she brought in here this morning.
Yes?
That was Myra's. Oh, what a dunderhead I am. Why didn't I see it before?
See what?
Where did Mabel find that buckle? Certainly not in Myra's house. She must have found it outside somewhere. Don't you see what that means?
Uh-huh. That Myra wasn't killed in her own house. Say.
Now all we have to do is find out where she was killed. Leonard, how well have you got that crow trained?
Pretty well. Why?
That buckle. If you told her to put it back where she found it, would she do it?
I don't think so. She's not that smart.
Oh.
Besides, it's been hours since she brought it here.
All right. Then that letter from Myra might tell us what we want to know. I want to know the minute that man goes out. Desk. Oh, he would keep it locked. I don't think he'd be so careless as to leave it under the chair cushions. Now, that would be too obvious. Oh. Oh. Hello?
Anne.
Oh, what is it, Leonard? Is he coming back?
I haven't seen him, but it's getting dark, and I'm afraid I won't be able to keep watch for you much longer.
I can't leave now. I've got to find that letter.
But it might be dangerous. Suppose he walks in on you.
Well, I'll have to take that chance. Hold the wire. I'll go look some more.
All right, but hurry.
Chair cushion. Oh, no, of course not. A liquor cabinet. Who would think of looking in a liquor cabinet for a letter? Only it didn't get dark so fast. There. Hello, Leonard.
Any luck, Anne?
Plenty. I've got it.
Bring it over here right away.
Leonard.
Well, what's the matter? Well, why don't you get out of there?
I'm afraid it's too late. Well, Leonard, send for Elisha McCombie, quick.
Is it Hyland?
I can't see. It's dark. Get Elisha.
Anne.
Not thinking, Your Honor. I'm going for a walk.
Where's Miss Waldron?
Anne? She's supposed to be here?
Yep. Let's go into your house.
All right, if you like. While we're doing that little thing, would you mind telling me what this is all about?
In time. Where is she?
I don't know. When I left for the village, the house was empty. When I came back, it was still empty.
She spoke to Mr. Case on the phone from here.
Really? Well, perhaps I should lock my door when I go out. Do you think my neighbors would disapprove?
Ain't none of my business. But this matter of Miss Waldron. Mr. Hyland, would you be a gum-chewing character?
Gum-chew? Sometimes. When I want to get rid of a bad taste.
And how did you get rid of the gum? Spit it out on the floor?
What do you mean?
Over there, by that table.
But, well, I'll
maybe
be...
you will, a lot sooner than you'd be expecting. Are you ready to talk about Miss Waldron?
Of course. Yes, I think she's beautiful. I think she's a charming girl. Now, if she were only a bit more friendly...
Is that all you've got to say?
No, but for the moment, it'll have to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you'd better come with me.
Where?
To Miss Van Wyck's house.
Why there?
Me and my boys are giving that place a mighty fine once over. Somebody that done a killing could think that we'd have no more reason to go back there. But we have, Mr. Highland. Come on.
Well, are you satisfied, Elisha? There isn't a trace of Ann Waldron upstairs or even down here in the cellar.
I ain't through looking yet, Mr. Highland.
Where do you expect to find her? In the coal bin?
Maybe. Hand me that shovel.
All right, but I...
On the other hand, maybe you better do the shoveling.
Hmm?
I can keep an eye on you that way.
Well, anything to make a select man happy, especially if he's the chairman of the board.
You're a mighty calm young fella, ain't you? Pretty sure of yourself.
I was brought up right.
What do you know about Miss Van Witt?
She's dead.
The postman mentioned she got a letter from New York this afternoon. It was in a woman's handwriting.
I get lots of letters.
From dead people?
You can never tell about that, Elisha. Sometimes you can swear a person is alive, and then after you've known him for a while, you...
But this letter, Mr. Highland, the postman had an idea it was in Miss Van Wick's handwriting, huh? From what he remembers of her handwriting.
I didn't kill her, if that's what you're leading up to.
Yep, that's what I'm leading up to. You got that letter?
Nope.
Well, suit yourself, Mr. Highland. You don't have to talk now.
Wait a minute. Huh? That suitcase, it was buried in the coal.
Well, I'll be swan. Open it. Jumping G. Hosselrat. Jewels.
Diamonds.
Well, it must be $1 million worth. So that's it. That's why Miss Van Wick was killed.
Uh-huh.
She came back here too soon. Whoever was hiding this stuff here figured that she'd be in New York, maybe. And maybe not, Mr. Highland.
No.
Maybe that person knew she was coming back. Maybe him and Miss Van Wick were sort of partners in a business that wasn't legal. Does that make sense to you, Mr. Highland?
I don't know. I don't go in for guesswork.
How about cyanide of potassium?
You're singing way off key, Elisha.
But you've got the right tune, ain't you? Put your hands up, Mr. Highland.
All right.
Now, just you walk up them stairs. And no monkey business, my friend. I got an eye like an eagle.
Operator, 124.
Hello.
Elisha, this is Leonard Case. You found Ann Waldron?
No.
Oh, good heavens, what are you doing about it?
I got searching parties out all over the island.
But what about David Highland? It was from his house that she called for help.
He'll talk, Mr. Case, about Miss Waldron and about Miss Van Wick, too.
You mean that he killed Myra?
Yeah. Well, oh, Mr. Case.
Yes?
The folks here in the village tell me your car's been parked all day by the general store.
I know. My butler, Sam Ray, took it this morning. Send him back if you see him, will you?
Ain't nobody seen him since 2 o'clock this afternoon. I reckon you'll have to be advertising for a new butler, Mr. Case.
Well, that's ridiculous. Sam wouldn't quit me without notice.
Maybe not, but he ain't on the island.
Okay, sister, on your feet. Shut up. We're going to take a ride now in the open sea. Fresh air and just enough fog to keep me and you out of sight. Nice, ain't it? The way that fog comes in over the water. Perfect hideout. Even better than this stinking old tool shed. Tough, ain't it? You got so much to say, but that gag don't let you. Yeah. Okay, get going. Right down to the boat. Then maybe when we get way out in the ocean, I'll tell you a nice, interesting bedtime story. Okay, baby, this is it. Hey, you're dying to talk, ain't you? Okay, I'll take off the gag. Hey, you can scream, too. There ain't a soul around here to hear you, 8 miles offshore.
Sam Ray, when Leonard Case finds out about this,
what's he gonna do, fire me?
He'll
What have you got against me? Why did you bring me out here to kill me?
I don't like snoopers, baby.
But I was only trying to protect myself. Elisha McComber suspected me of killing Myra Van Wyck. I didn't do it. I had to find out who did it.
So you went after a letter?
I thought it might give me a clue.
Yeah.
Did that letter contain any evidence, Sam?
Plenty.
What kind of evidence?
You're sure a dame, ain't you?
Well, you can't be afraid to tell me now. I'll never have a chance to... Will I?
How right you are.
Well, are you going to tell me or aren't you?
Baby, that letter meant the difference between $1 million and zero. That Highland guy...
Then he was mixed up with the death of Myra.
Shut up.
What's the matter?
Listen. There's a boat out there. You make one sound.
You listen.
Are you steady, little? Yeah. I'm going to finish you off right now and get out of here.
Get away from him, Miss Foreman. Get out of that boat.
That's the whole story, Leonard. If it hadn't been for Elisha, I'd be at the bottom of the ocean now.
Oh, Anne, darling, I don't know what to say to you. I feel as though it's all my fault.
Nonsense.
Oh, but Sam worked for me. I trusted him. How was I to know that he was a diamond thief and that he'd killed Myra? He did kill Myra, didn't he, Elisha?
I reckon so. We got no way of knowing now with him at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, all I can say is thanks for saving Anne. Now, how about a party to celebrate? Sam Gorn, I guess we'll have to rely on Mabel to do the honors. Mabel!
Candy! Candy, Mabel, for the lady.
If she could only cook. Mabel!
She flew out the window. Leonard, she's flying toward Myra's house.
Candy for the lady, eh, Mr. Kane?
I don't understand what got into that bird. She's never disobeyed orders.
And I reckon she ain't disobeying them now. She's flying to the only lady she knows. All right, Mr. Case, you can talk now. You got a mind to.
But I got nothing to say.
That's your privilege. But you killed Myra Van Wyck by sending that bird out last night with a piece of poisoned candy. And you done it because you knew the lady would take the candy from the bird, maybe as an omen of reconciliation. Miss Waldron, did you know that Mr. Case and Miss Van Wyck was husband and wife?
Married?
Yep. I asked the police in New York to do a routine check on Miss Van Wyck, and they come up with the dope.
Leonard.
All right, so what? Put her around. I told her to stay away from the island, to leave me alone.
And you had good reason to. She might have found them diamonds in a coal bin. That would have been too bad, wouldn't it, for you?
What brings you down to the beach at this hour of night?
You. And some of the things you can explain to me about Leonard.
Oh. Well, Leonard Case was a smuggler. Sam Ray worked for him. So did a lot of others. It was my job to round up the gang from the top down.
Your job?
Mm-hmm. I'm an agent of the Treasury Department.
Oh. Well, that tells me a lot.
Oh. Well, that's why I had to be so tough with you on occasions. I couldn't take the chance of being implicated in a murder. I would have had to explain my position to Elisha.
But he's an officer of the law.
Rounding up a gang of smugglers was my job. Finding a murderer was his.
Yes. But what about that letter you received from Myra?
That, my dear, was an authorization for me to enter her house and search it.
Oh. Oh! What a...
Oh. What a little dope you are.
Mr. Highland.
David. Come on, let's take a walk.
And so closes tonight's Crime Club book, Death Blew Out the Match, based on the story by Kathleen Moore Knight. Stedman Coles did the radio adaptation. Roger Bauer produced and directed. Oh, I beg your pardon. Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. Well, I'm the librarian. Yes, yes. Ah, come over a week from tonight. Good. We have a very unusual story about a murderer who was revealed by postage stamps. It's called For the Hangman. In the meantime? Well, in the meantime, there's a new Crime Club book available this week and every week at bookstores everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's available now. Quite all right. And we'll look for you next week.
This program came to you from New York. Mutual's Mystery Hour continues immediately after station identification with a casebook of Gregory Hood.
Crime Club, on Tuned To Yesterday, the first episode in the series from December 2nd, 1946 on Mutual Radio. And that wraps up this hour of Crime on Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.